It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, this is Ben, a.k.a. DM Silver Adept of the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is Mark Shook, a.k.a. Mad Mage 999 of the Realms of Trinity, the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is the Amethyst Dragon of the World of Aenea Persistent World and everywhere else.
And this is Fried, a.k.a. Sir Bride of the Neverwinter Nights podcast and the Realms of Trinity. And you're listening to the 193rd episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games and the released MMO from Cryptic, Neverwinter. Well, we got a bunch of stuff to go over tonight. We have a special guest, friend of the show, many episodes, the Amethyst Dragon. Thanks for coming on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also joined by Rowan and Mark. We actually have a good bit of stuff to talk about tonight. Over the past couple months, website performance of the Neverwinter Nights podcast has steadily declined rapidly. And to no fault of our own, I mean, we've kept the site up to date and clean and database tight and everything was, you know, kept up to snuff. However, our web host was just, I guess, overloaded or whatever. So I opened some trouble tickets and, you know, worked a lot with them trying to do it. And it basically kept saying, oh, it's your site. Okay. I said, fine. You know, I had this problem with the Realms of Trinity website in 2010. And I finally got off that crap host. And, you know, so I've been down this road. So I signed up with a preferred web host for WordPress sites, WordPress-based PHP sites, and moved everything over just a couple of days ago, and the site is cracking fast. The episode loading, website page loading, it's just amazingly faster, and you know the experience has been much improved, as well as we've made some content updates, and we got some more content updates coming over the next couple of weeks to refresh some of the creative on the site, as well as some of the persistent pages that we have that have the game details and content showcase and things. So we got some more updates coming to really do that. So if you notice the site being a lot faster, that's why. And also, we also have a few other notes to talk about. One of them is the upcoming Gen Con 2014 appearance that we have scheduled. Ben and myself and Mark have already gotten our hotel and accommodations, everything set up. We are actively pursuing our guest lineup. I can tell you that, you know, more than likely, unless there's scheduling conflicts or issues, Shane Hensley will be back for yet another appearance on the show. And we have a really good topics that we're going to be covering with him about his Savage World products and Pinnacle Entertainment, as well as just talking about a lot of his experiences as a DM and game host and game creator, pen and paper D&D, and a lot of his RP stuff. He alluded to some of it in our last episode in our 2013 appearance. And, you know, just that little story of talking about the snipped kobolds got a lot of response from people. And, you know, we want to continue that line for sure. So, you know, that's an episode that's surely going to be one to catch when we get there. We will be joined by Ben is coming in. I said we have a new attendee, which is Mark Shook, Mad Mage 999. So we're really glad to have you coming with us this year.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. For those who are newer to the podcast, Mark had recently joined the podcast several episodes ago. He is a DM on the Realms of Trinity. He's been DM for about 6 months or more now, and a content developer, coder, just about everything, DM. He's been doing a great amount of work in the gaming environments, and you know we're really working to put a lot of stuff together for the podcast as well as the Realms of Trinity and beyond, actually. So we have a lot of things in progress. Mark has been an outstanding help to the Realms of Trinity as well as the podcast. So we welcome him on board as a staff member, and you know it's going to be great for all three of us this year to go to Gen Con. And lastly, about Gen Con, we do have a slight little issue. Normally, we all get press passes when we go. Well, the Gen Con, they have a hard limit of 2 press passes per podcast. You know, seeing some of the other media, quote unquote, that was there last year, you know, that get more passes, we do put on a production show, and, you know, we're lobbying right now to get a third one. If not, you know, any help that can be done donations wise to the podcast fund on the website would be helpful to help pay us. Pay the third one. It's we're spend a lot of dough to go to these events, and any kind of help would be greatly appreciated financially. So I just want to put that out there as well. Ben and Mark, you got anything else to add about what you upcoming at the Gen Con you may have seen? Or
No, it's looking interesting. There are a couple good things that they are sort of teasing for what's going to be there to see and do. But, you know, I think at this point, it's sort of going to be typical Gen Con, fun stuff to go do. Maybe this year we'll get Brian to go LARPing.
That is a possibility.
It's been a four-year mission.
Yes. Yes, it has. Another thing, too, I mean, not to beat a dead horse here, but we are pushing very heavily to have our Gen Con appearance be episode 200. This is 193. We're going to be ramping up podcast productions between now and then to make the number. We only got six to go, really. So we'll be doing them every other week, and then probably a couple weeks, and then we're going to have two, you know, once a week. So been really heavily getting guests lined up. Mark has done a great job with the Project Zerios guy that came on last week. Sven, great interview. And if you have any questions, or if you can lay some help out to his project, you know, he'd be greatly appreciated. He would greatly appreciate it, really help a good cause to get Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 more legs moving forward, as well as the other Aurora toolset game, Aurora Engine games. So, you know, it's definitely a worthwhile project, and the more people that can jump on board and help them out, it's something that's going to go down in history, because that'll pretty much make the game last forever. once it becomes, you know, platform independent, it'll definitely be something amazing. Or even being able to play Neverwinter Nights on your iPad, how about that? So,
in 64-bit.
Yeah.
With all your cores.
yeah, exactly. So there's a lot going on out there still in the Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 world. And that actually kind of preludes to the Amethyst Dragons topics. I know you got a lot of stuff going on. You want to start going over that?
Sure, I always got a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, you do.
As far as Neverwinter Nights news goes, if you've been to the Neverwinter Vault, the IGN Vault, anytime in the recent, I don't know, you can see it's pretty much abandoned. IGN's keeping it up and online as kind of an archive site, so you can still go download stuff, you can still log in and vote on stuff, but the site has been having issues with new images actually showing up, so like if you take screenshots of the stuff you make, it's not going to show up. But Rollo Kip and a few other people have been doing a really good job of with the new Neverwinter Vault, which is neverwintervault.org. All new content is showing up there now, which is great. And should the old vault ever actually go offline, they have a backup of practically everything that's there on some external hard drives that just haven't been loaded in yet.
Nice.
So, yeah, there's a ton of work that went into that for weeks, months, I'm not even sure, but it's like 500 gigabytes or something like that. I don't know. They got like a terabyte hard drive or something it's on that all that content is just sitting on. And all the vault pages with the information and the vote counts and the download counts and all that stuff is stored away. People can move their stuff over themselves to the new vault, but it's there as a backup.
Well, that's great. You know, I think that's something that, you know, a lot of people really in the past really relied on, you know, to get new custom content, as well as players looking to download single player modules and all kind of other stuff. I mean, it was a really great site at one time.
Yep. And the new vault, I'm seeing modules show up. I'm seeing old stuff being brought in by the original authors. New vault has, you know, things like active administrators. Rollo made me one of them so I can like approve new people and post stuff and things.
Nice.
Yep. It's got its own forums that work quite well. Polls for different stuff. Like I throw up a poll every month for the custom content challenge. I put it right on the new vault so people can vote on it.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I still go to the vault first.
I go there to see if anybody's, you know, commented on any of my stuff, but the front page never updates anymore. I used to do like the site ads that would show up for people's modules and persistent worlds and stuff, but since it stopped accepting new images, it's pretty much useless.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that about the new site. I did not know that.
Yep, neverwintervault.org, so that's the new vault. As far as the custom content challenge goes, since November, there's been a lot of work being done because we do a new theme every single month. You can look at the new vault for the content for November's stuff, which was Doctor Who, since that was the 50th anniversary month. December, we had Dark Sun material. January, it was Kryn, like Dragonlance stuff. February was a Gothic theme. March was Catacombs, Crypts, and Tombs. And April, the month that just got finished up, was Orcs and Half-Orcs. That content's not online yet. It should be. I'm going to try to get out, bust out in the next few days. And this month, for May, which we just started today, the theme is Technomancy. So if you want to make it stuff that mixes magic and technology somehow, models, prefabs, areas, encounters, whatever, we consider it all custom conscript. You know, it's not just 3D models. Go ahead, participate. We welcome newbies. All of us were that way one time. Let's see. So that's the CCC, Custom Content Challenge. My own Persistent World, lots of updates there. Lots of content stuff. I think I'll just skip it this time because it's pages and pages and pages.
Anything show-stopping, any big changes that, you know, anything new that you added that really stands out to you?
See, I don't have any more. When you kill creatures, they no longer need to leave the plain brown loot bag. I made all new placeable remains sets, ranging from bloody messes to dragon remains to,
cool,
you know, a blob of bloody mess with a big eyeball for beholders. So that was fun.
Yummy.
Wow, that's pretty damn cool, man.
I made myself take a week away from GMAX, the 3D modeling program. I said, I'm not going to open the program for 7 days. And by the third day, I had a list of like 20 different things to make, mostly creatures. So I made brand new pixies. I made a new gargoyle because I really didn't like the old one or the one that was in the CEP. I made new Baelor demons, stone giant. I even got so tired of the rats that were in Neverwinter Nights because they were bigger than cats. They're huge. So I scaled those down. And then since I was messing with rats anyway, I scaled some of those up so that I could have an ROUS. Okay, somebody got the reference. Good.
That's why Mark's here. He gets references.
Yes, you wish.
Sorry.
I don't believe they exist.
Rodents of unusual size from The Princess Bride.
Powder.
Yeah, love that movie. It's so bad.
By design, I think.
I'm a big fan of movies are inherently silly like that, and that even the kids can watch. And then, you know, absolutely stupid comedies that my kids definitely can't watch. Let's see. Oh, I added a wish spell for my persistent world, finally. So that'll be fun. It'll summon up a genie, and basically they get a choice out of a conversation of what they can do. That's a fun one.
I was screwing around and made a time stop for Neverwinter Nights, too, just for giggles.
Yep.
I had to limit that. I took it away in my persistent world, and then I added it back in, but it only freezes stuff in the immediate area that the caster is in rather than the whole game.
Right, that's the way I made it, too.
That might be something we definitely could talk about. Yeah, adding that in at some time is something special. I mean, I still, you know what I'm going to do one of these days whenever I have a few free minutes, which I hardly ever do, but if I do, you know what I'm going to do, right?
No.
I'm going to do the Tenzer's floating disc as you did.
Oh, sweet.
It's actually really simple. In fact, I don't know how models transfer between the games, but they were my very, very first, no, second model with GMAX. The first one was like a wall, but they were my second one, and they're a hovering thin cylinder. Really easy to make. Doesn't even have any animations because it just floats and follows you.
What can you do with it once you have it out there then?
In my game, I have the spell set up so that once you cast it, you talk to it, and it'll pop open its inventory, and you can just pile all your crap on there.
Oh, cool.
So it doesn't slow you down.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, what it is in pen and paper Dungeons & Dragons. Pencil and paper.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. That's one of those types of game. Yeah, that's one of those types of things that sticks to me, and, you know, stuff that people can do, you know, add on to the, you just don't get that anywhere else. And Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 still was the king, king of the castle when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, if you want to, you know, add something, you can.
Yep.
I love these games.
Yeah, they're great.
And I add all the time. Let's see, some other, I revamped magic item creation for my persistent world, so that casters can actually upgrade items instead of, you know, they used to be able to upgrade armor and weapon with enhancement bonuses, but that was it. But now they can add a whole bunch of stuff to anything they want.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we get into, as far as news goes, something that, there was this old ship. Apparently it's been abandoned by the captain and first mate. Nobody's heard from them in like a year and a half. Nobody's maintained this thing in like 3 years. So I decided that somebody should do something, so I started a little mutiny. And that ship, we're towing it into harbor and working on fixing it up a little bit. So the community expansion pack is in the works again.
Nice.
Yes.
That's real good.
It has not been updated since March of 2011.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So I've been posting on the BioWare forums and started a wiki for it, and with a lot of input from the community, I'm working on adding new content, seeing a few bugs, so we can finally have a new version out. I'm sure the previous CEP team, which was like two people by the end of it because nobody evidently got along with them anymore, they'd probably take issue with the decision. But yeah, nobody's heard from any of them in more than a year and a half. So
wow.
Yeah.
What about Project Q? Are people still working on that, or is that pretty much DOA too?
There are a couple of people still working on that one. Paul St. Marie was basically the last person left, and he put out a version 1.7, and then shortly after that was a version 1.8, and now he's actually doing small incremental, like, weekly updates, putting stuff in. Because he said, you know, posted that this was, you know, here you go, here's version 1.8, I think he said, or maybe it was 7. It must have been 8. You know, this is going to be the final version, you know, so long, everybody. Sorry, we just can't keep up with this because the whole team is gone and everything. And then lots of community members came in and said, oh, man. So he went back to work on it. Evidently, you know, that's motivation, getting actual feedback from the community.
That's hard to get anymore, I'll tell you that. I mean, things have kind of dried up in a lot of ways across the board. I mean, you know, I'm seeing more and more Persistent Worlds going offline. The list keeps getting smaller. Yeah, and I've seen other stuff too, you know, kind of drying up. So,
well, it's, the game will be 12 years old in a month.
Yeah, that's crazy talk. That is. That's just nutsy. That's at, you know, it's just been out that long. It really is.
But the community keeps it going. We've got Virus Man who and Skywing L, I think, is his username. They managed to get the in-game server listing back up for us.
Yeah, same, right. Neverwinter 2 is the same way with that NWN list. Well, they use that web service to publish the data. But
yeah,
that's pretty cool. Yeah, they definitely got on the ball on that.
Yeah, and now we got myself and some others are helping me out with the CEP, so we'll have a version 2.60 in the relatively near future. I'm going to be doing smaller upgrades like 2.61, 2.62. There was some people that wanted to do like a CEP3 and basically reorganize it with all new hacks and stuff. And I'm like, I'm not going to use that then.
Right. Cause you're already locked in.
Yeah. I've been using 2.4 since it came out and I've been using it since about 2.1. So we'll still be backwards compatible. We'll still use the same hack names with, you know, a couple of new ones so that, you know, it doesn't mess up people's persistent worlds or modules that they've built over the last how many years. But, yeah, so if any listeners want to have some input, you can make suggestions on the wiki. I believe it's nwncep.wikia. I think that one's .net. Maybe it's .com. I'm not sure. I think it's .net. Or you can, you know, email me or whatever, and I can send you the address. Anyway, I put up polls for people to vote on different stuff and to make suggestions for stuff. It's coming along slowly because, you know, I got, you know, 15 other pots on the stove, but
yeah. Yeah.
There's actual progress. You know, last night I added, like, 16 new creature appearances made by Baba Yaga, so those will be nice.
Yeah, I think what really stands out to me, and you're detailing it, is the fact that how much work is still being done in Neverwinter Nights 1. I mean, it really is. I mean, it may not be as much as it had been, you know, years ago, but at the same time, there's constant progression.
Oh, yeah. There's always new stuff, and people that are there are really helpful for people who come in and want to try something new. There's people that are really pushing the game engine to try new things, which is always interesting to see. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we're constantly doing the same thing. We're doing all kind of horrible stuff just to try to get stuff better and, you know, more reactive and more more up to date. You know, we add features constantly to update the GUI. At least with Neverwinter Nights 2, you can update the GUI.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous about that.
Yeah. Don't be totally jealous of all the ass pain I have doing it half the time. But, you know, but it is something that, you know, that's the kind of stuff you're always doing. You're always trying to find ways to modernize the experience, get it better. And, you know, but at least, you know, we both, in a lot of ways, in Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, we both have a lot of tools still to make it happen. So.
Oh, yeah.
You know, speaking of updates, you know, I might as well throw this in now that I thought of it. I had talked to Cadran probably about a couple weeks ago, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, and he is working pretty heavily on the next PRC release. Yeah, he's got details posted on his site, I believe, about it, and I don't know exactly what the release date is on it, but it's definitely in the works for Neverwinter Nights 2. So, you know, everybody who's hearing this, you know, definitely check it out when it comes out. He's adding a lot of new stuff, you know, putting a lot of features in and extra things that he had, you know, been working on for quite some time. So, you know, it's definitely something to keep an eye out on.
Definitely, yeah. You know, even for us Neverwinter Nights, one people we can go, well, let's take a look and maybe get some ideas.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
Grant, I wouldn't add the whole PRC to my persistent world because there's just so much there. But you know what? It's a great source for ideas.
Oh, yeah.
You got wheels turning in my head about what can be transferred from Neverwinter Nights 1 to 2 as far as models and stuff now.
Well, I don't know how to do it, but you know what? All I have is G-Max, the free...
Yeah, well, you know, that's interesting you say that, though, because G-Max is what they use for Neverwinter Nights 2 for a lot of, for placeables and, you know, stuff like that. So I know that it's still compatible, and I know that I had seen that folks were porting placeables from Neverwinter Nights 1 into Neverwinter Nights 2. And there
cool,
are
because it's come back the other way, too. We've gotten some cool buildings and walls and sorts of stuff. A guy named the George did a ton of work pulling in all sorts of placeables, and it looks nice, and you mix it with some of the Neverwinter Nights 1 stuff, and you can add a lot of variety.
Yeah, that's really cool that you can do that. I mean, it stands to reason. I mean, it's based on a similar technology, you know, so it's everything's pretty much the same. I mean, there's obviously things that aren't, you know, as a matter of fact, stuff that we talked to Sven about last week, the speed tree and the granny effects and some different things like that. There's things that, you know, you can't bring back because they're not a part of the engine. They're not part of the, you know, that they were added for Neverwinter Nights specifically.
Yeah, I know there's a guy named Merrick's dad who's actually working on, I think it's a plug-in or a script or something for Max that will actually help generate randomized trees.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
So it won't do, as far as I know, it won't do randomized trees in-game, but it'll make it making models of them real quick and easy. So I'm keeping my eye on that.
Yeah, that's something that can definitely help you out there, no doubt.
He's actually doing a project on the BioWare forum called Weapon a Day, like all sorts of stuff, actually. But he's basically throwing out, it looks like, about a model a day. He's taking requests and all this stuff just to, you know, use his skills and practice them. And it's looking nice. And he's doing tutorials on how to do stuff, too, which is awesome.
Yeah, that is. That is awesome. There's a lot of stuff going on. I think, you know, the biggest thing right now is I think a lot of people are kind of up in the air as far as looking for the next thing. But with Neverwinter being out almost a year now, I think the remnants of, you know, people who play Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2, I think for the vast majority or vast amount of them, don't really sign into the Neverwinter strategy, you know, the layout.
Yeah.
It's not the same game. I mean, they've done a really good job with it, but Neverwinter Nights, it isn't. And frankly, in all fairness, it wasn't supposed to be. So I think...
You know, I checked it out. I played a rogue up to level 60, and then I got bored with it, and I decided to, like, you know, okay, how do I upgrade my gear and stuff? And I looked, and it would be countless hours of grinding to try to, you know, get these little crystals to upgrade stuff. I'm like, I can't do that.
Yeah. Or you could pay $100 and...
Well, you get them. I think I've spent like 75 or 80 on Neverwinter Nights 1 and the two expansions when they came out. And I don't feel like spending money anymore because game is awesome and I can do anything I want with it.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's a big part of the experience. And, you know, hopefully down the road that there will be a product that will fill those gaps.
Neverwinter is a good action game, and they do keep adding stuff, which is nice, and people can tell their own stories with the Foundry. They just can't, you know, have their own persistent worlds or servers or whatever.
Right. At least not right now. I mean, I don't know what the details are on that, you know, as far as the future plans, which actually kind of segues into something that I forgot to talk about, and I'm glad you brought that up, is the fact is that the community manager, Psalm, a.k.a. Psalminator, he has left. Yeah, I love this handle. He was a really good friend of the podcast. Had him on the show. We talked at great lengths offline, and you know he's really cool. Unfortunately, he has moved on to with his career, and you know he has a PhD and he does a lot of big time stuff. So he moved on from community manager last month. So you know we're waiting until the Cryptic hires a new, or Perfect World Entertainment hires a new community manager, so we can get in a hold of them and start getting some updates on the products. We'd like to get Andy Velasquez back on, or, you know, whoever else wants to come on the show. Plus, we'll probably meet up with some folks out in Gen Con this year. I'm sure they're going to be there again talking about the game. And, you know, we'll definitely try to get some updates about that. Maybe even head over to the area where they set up everything and have demonstrations and whatnot. So we definitely like to do that when we get there. There's a lot of stuff that comes to mind that, you know, while we're there, this year is going to be a little bit different than the last couple of years that we've done the live events. We've been doing live events since 2011 when we took the podcast over. So, you know, this probably will be our last year of doing them just because of other initiatives and things that we have going on. So we really want to make this one the one that to roll all.
Yeah, I wish I could go to Gen Con. I haven't been there since, well, I guess it's been at least 10 years before I had kids.
Yeah, that'll do it.
It was in Milwaukee still.
Yeah, that's right. You were saying before, you said it was, they moved it from Milwaukee.
I get to go to Phoenix Comic Con, and that's about the closest thing there is, but it's not a gaming convention. It's still geeky enough for me, but it's not a Gen Con.
Yeah, that's just like when we went to the Origins Game Fairs, you know, Ben? It's like, it was a gaming convention, but really wasn't about electronic games. Yeah.
Or anything.
Yeah. I mean, not even D&D for that much. I mean, they had D&D stuff going on there, but, you know, for the most part, it was like, we were like the weirdos being D&D players. It's like, what? You know, it's like, I don't know. It was just a different experience. You know, and I know other people that, you know, used to go there and, you know, showcase their works and stuff, you know, which I won't name names, but they don't go there anymore either, just because of the environment. It's not worth it. You know, you pay all that money to go there and spend the time there. And they're really good about press passes and things like that. We had no trouble getting the entire Neverwinter Nights podcast staff there. We had 5 people last time we went. So, you know, here I'm struggling to get a third pass at Gen Con, but, you know, I mean, it's definitely something that, you know, coming back to it, I definitely we're definitely going to do some new things this year. We're going to get a lot more footage, especially since Mark's coming. You know, we're going to have an extra hand. It's just too hard. And that's what I told Stacia Kirby, she's like person who heads up all the press relations and media relations for Gen Con. You know, I told her, I'm like, you know, this is the reason why I'm requesting a third one, because we have a lot of stuff we want to cover. And Ben and myself ran ragged last year. I mean,
yep.
Yeah,
it was rough. I mean, we had to, you know, we parked like about a mile away, and we're carrying all this gear back and forth. And here, dummy me forgets my tripod. So guess who has to go a mile back and forth again?
Jeez.
Me. It's like 92 degrees, you know, so I come back soaking wet. You know, it was just not a good experience trying to huff everything. So, you know, especially we were there for 3 days, and yeah, the 2 days that we were there doing the stuff was Friday and Saturday. You know, we were getting the main interviews and everything. And that was really, it was just really stretched. I mean, because we had to coordinate with the media room and all that stuff. And there was a lot of, you know, you got 5 people coming in for interviews. You got to set up, you know, you have to get all your show notes ready. It's just,
yep. Get them in and out.
Yep, got to get him in and out. It really was a little too much for Ben and myself to do, you know. So with Mark coming this year, you know, we're going to have a lot more capabilities, especially considering that we've seen how efficient everything ran when we had 5 people. You know, we did the Origins. I mean, there was no fooling around. You know, I had a gaffer, you know, working, doing the lighting and the camera angles and camera work. We had a media a sound guy that did the soundboard and all that good stuff. I mean, we had a lot of extra help, plus setting up, tearing down. You know, we even had our own spot in the game. Yeah, so we were out in public, you know, nice table backdrop and everything. I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the way I envision them all being, but unfortunately, we don't have the same setup at Gen Con. So we're going to take some things more on the road, so to speak. We're going to take the stuff out in the game halls and talk to the vendors themselves. There's a lot of people that want to talk. As a matter of fact, Ben, I don't know if you remember, but last year, remember how we were talking? There, people were actually asking us if they could come on the show and stuff, and we just never got back with them.
Yeah.
So, because they see what kind of work we do. You know, we do a professional podcast. You know, we go out, we set up right, we do it right. Yeah, you know, we'll give their product a good shake, plus the fact that we try to cover, you know, something. And just to segue onto this, part of one of the new updated pages on the website is the About Us page on the Neverwinter Nights podcast site. And, you know, we put on there the list of products that, you know, we cover. I mean, I know we're the Neverwinter Nights podcast, but we cover more than just Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 and Neverwinter. You know, we also cover, you know, the Savage World products from Pinnacle Entertainment, which is Shane Hensley's company. the writings of author Maxwell Alexander Drake. You know, we people who over the years that we've met and, you know, really like the work that they did and how they tied into Neverwinter Nights, because they do. A lot of the stuff does with D&D, period, but also Neverwinter Nights, because even Maxwell Alexander Drake was a big Neverwinter Nights 1 fan. So, ooh. You know, so it's really, when we do these podcasts, you know, we're always expanding. And I know Mark and I, or not Mark, but one of our other ROT DMs, content producer Jonathan Beaudreau, which is A-Ghost, you know, we had talked about it the other day, you know, possibly even rebranding the Neverwinter Nights podcast, changing the name of it totally, and, you know, coming up with something totally new, but still obviously having all the Neverwinter Nights podcast content and still cover Neverwinter Nights because of the type of stuff that we're doing and continuously adding on, you know, to be more of a general podcast that focuses on Neverwinter Nights, but not necessarily only Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah, might as well do stuff that might also be of interest to your listeners.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, obviously, you know, that's something that we're kind of looking towards the future. So, you know, I'll get off the soapbox now. but that's something that, you know, I want to put out there. I know we don't talk about it a whole lot. Do the podcast. We typically just do the interviews and get into guests and things like that. Maybe some type of stuff like that. But I do like to take the opportunity to, for once, talk about future plans and, you know, what we're talking about doing moving forward. So
I'm going to have to read that now. I didn't see that page before, but then again, it's been, you know, a few days since I visited the site.
There you go. So, yeah.
I listened Monday and Tuesday to all the podcasts that I'd missed. I'm like, okay, now I'm caught up.
Yeah, go figure. Before I switched over to site. Yeah, you were sitting there waiting like 25 hours to load a page.
The pages loaded slow, but downloading the podcast was really fast.
Yeah, because nobody can get on the site. there's no web traffic, man. It's just, people are just hanging out on the PHP page. So, you know, with that, I mean, do you have any other updates about stuff you got going on?
Yeah, Persistent World stuff, CP, Custom Content Challenge, the vaults. I think that pretty much covers what I was going to cover. I'm going to blab more about my Persistent World, but you guys have heard a lot about that already, and that's constantly ongoing.
Yeah, well, the Persistent World work is constantly ongoing. I mean, that we talk about that regularly, you know, amongst the staff and everything, talking about, okay, when are we going to say, okay, we're going to wrap up development and kind of let it hang out and just manage it and start on another project. You know, we've had those conversations a few times, but you know,
I'll have to be really, really burned out on Neverwinter Nights before I do that. But, you know, if something happens, I can't afford to run it anymore, but yeah, it's nice. I'm still getting new players trickling in. Not like I heard you guys lately after all your blitzing on getting your name out there, but getting some people are really into role playing in recently, and it's pretty cool since my server's kind of a do what you want. Here's places you can go, you can explore, you can fight stuff, role playing completely up to the players.
Yep.
And I got some very involved role players in now. It's very cool. Some ideas too of stuff I can kind of put into the background to bring the world even more to life on its own.
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's, you know, we have the same type of thing going on. We were surprised recently too about the number of role players that have joined the server. And, you know, something else too, I mean, something we did just recently, you know, just brings it pops up in my head is we did something that most, I'd say 99.99% of all Persistent Worlds haven't done, is we went to a multi-server architect, you know, but we did it transparently as possible.
Yeah.
Something that, you know, was Blazing Saddles. Thank God for Mark here, who did the legwork to get the proof of concept figured out. So, you know, that's part of the teamwork. You know, he was doing the proof of concepts and I was still plugging away at content at the time. But a couple months down the road, you know, we're like, okay, we're running out of space, man. You know, because the server can only load so much crap. So, you know, we sat down, you know, we came up with it and we split the server. We have two servers now, primary and a secondary. And basically, you know, you transparently portal between the servers. You know, it's like you transition, mm-hmm. like a little extra screen flicker or something. But for the most part, it's a transparent portal. Well, you know, we had a lot of development to do that. You know, we had to do cross-server tell system and integrate it with the player lists. And, you know, we had all kind of fun work to do to get it up and run. So far, you know, everything's been working really well. I mean, we ran into a few snags with, you know, people when they jump from one server to another that, you know, their buffs fall off, they lose party, stuff like that. So, you know, we probably lost a little bit of players due to it because some of the overhead, it's not that bad, but, you know, people can be.
You get to keep it running, though.
Yeah, I mean, but this is just phase one. You know, it's been up and running for this way for the last month or so, and it's been rock solid. So everything's good technically. Next thing that we're doing, and this is something we're in progress right now, we're going to have on beta server here very shortly, is we've reorganized the split. So about 3/4 of the way through the second campaign, that's when all the content will be hosted on server two. So that will greatly minimize the amount of server back and forth, you know, so it makes sense.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So all the whole third campaign's over there in about the last quarter or so of the second campaign's over there, because, you know, 3/4 of the way through the second campaign it's all based in Cormyr in Suzel. So, you know, everything kind of shifts that way and there's tons of content there. So you're not going to necessarily need to bounce back and forth server one to server two. So especially everything's already over there. So that's the way we're going to be moving within the next week, you know, to help alleviate that minor inconvenience. But
it's one of the things I find interesting about your guys' servers, how you have it set up so that there's a definite storyline that characters can follow from beginning to where you're at now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Oh, that was the vision from day one. You know,
it would have to be.
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was. You know, we had a defined story we wrote and, you know, published. And, you know, we just built on it from there. We had the first two campaigns pretty much fully written up before we even developed one area. So it was just a matter of getting it in electronically and spending all the time on it. And, you know, the third campaign was more of an invention that came like about a year and a half ago. But we wrote it at that point, but we wrote all of it at that point. So it ended up working out. So we developed the third campaign. And
yeah. Mine started out as this little village. And it's still the starting village for every player that comes in. And then I'm like, okay, let's set the rooms this way, because I was using my pen and paper campaign map. And so I'm like, okay, I'll just open this in Photoshop. And okay, visualize my links, draw them out here. Here's how my transitions are going to work. And I let my players just kind of roam, and sometimes they roam into places that are too dangerous for a low-level character. Mm-hmm. Luckily, death isn't that big of a penalty for low levels.
Yep.
And they start out back in the starting village unless something special goes on, like somebody casts Raise Dead on them or something. But it's all like a lot of exploration, and a lot of my players have become addicted to the teleport spell. Like, they will not make a character that cannot at least use a scroll of teleport.
Wow.
Well, otherwise, it's a lot of walking.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense then. Yeah.
Well, there's also these portals that you can go through. They're kind of like, they look like Stargates, and you actually have to do a little combination to get to different areas.
Uh-huh.
So anybody can use that. Horde make things faster. There's potions that will just randomly teleport you to like one of 30 different places.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
But once they've done the exploring, a lot of them are like, okay, I don't want to do that again. I'm just going to pop in here. I'm going to save this location because I'm not even a wizard, so I can still save 25 spots. And they won't do a character build that can't at least, you know, use magic device to, you know, use a scroll. So the story route like you guys have wouldn't work quite as well because they'd be constantly bouncing back and forth.
No, what we did was we heavily used the world map. We have three world maps that you can, as you progress through a story, unlocks more spots on the world map, you know. So
Yeah,
so it's fully journal driven and all that good stuff. And, you know, we have that. Plus, we have something called the Return Stone that you can actually pop any of the world maps without actually going to a world map transition point. So,
nice.
Yeah, so it really greatly minimizes the amount of walking. I mean, you pretty much go to exactly where you want to go. We have some places you have to do a little bit of transversal, you know, across the terrain. But, you know,
I have a world map item thing, and I made like a 3D one in GMAC, but it's really just for reference. You use the item, you get transported to the area that has a 3D map, you look at it, and then you leave, and you're right back where you started. It's not like an actual travel world map, but...
Well, I'm sure you could definitely do something like that. You definitely could, even just by conversation, you know, nodes or something like that. You know, I want to go here, you know. Won't be as graphical as having a GUI that has, you know, map points that you can click the point and...
Yeah, I remember the map in Baldur's Gate. That was always useful.
Yeah, it's basically the same setup. Exactly.
I'm going to go back and check this area out again.
Exactly how it works, dude. I mean, there's a lot of things like that. I mean, like I said before, you know, there's a lot of stuff that can be done. You've done a ton. We've done a ton. Other people have done a ton. Everybody's...
So many different routes you can take with this stuff.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And that's part of having the vision up front, knowing what you want to do up front, and, you know, so you're not actually shooting yourself in the foot every 5 minutes.
Oh, I never know what I'm doing up front. I don't even plan out my character concepts besides a theme.
Yeah, you could, I mean, well, hey, everybody does things differently, right?
Yep.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
That's part of the joy of the development. If somebody said, hey, you got to do something a certain way, I wouldn't have done it. I would say that for you.
Yeah.
I'm doing it as how I know, you know, how it needs to be done. And if I'll listen to what people have to say, but, you know, if you're pretty confident about what you're doing and how you're doing it, if it's working for you, why would you change it, right? That reminds me of something. You know, I've through my Google searching, you know, looking for specific things, you know, technical lookups for functions or something I didn't know how to use, especially like that, the activate portal stuff, you know, looking to see if there's any documentation beyond what the game had provided. You know, I seen that there was a Neverwinter Nights 2 world, persistent world group called Alpha, A Land of Far and Away. And they had done, I mean, a ton of work on putting stuff out for the community of people to build actually alpha servers, and they would link them all together. So, I mean, but there was a lot of that stuff in there where, you know, you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way. And, you know, a lot of people, first of all, it's a struggle to even learn the tool set, number one. And number two, the fact that, you know, you got to be able to play around to learn the stuff that are core to the game before you can start really hammering complicated stuff, even if somebody else did a lot of the work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, that model, yeah, as well as it is, it just goes to show you, I mean, you know, give people the ability to learn the engine, and at the same time, you know, hey, here's some stuff. You know, this is the way, you know, if you want the stuff on our server,
yeah.
This is what you're gonna have to do it for consistency so we can maintain it and know it's not going to crash the server because of performance issues or something. You know, that's the kind of the route that, you know, we've taken. Even recently, we brought a few more people on, developers, that we have a whole group of new developers that are learning the stuff. But, you know, they're not getting the keys to the kingdom. You know, they're getting a developer's pack that's got compiled scripts, and, you know, I have a whole tutorial document, you know, it goes through all the systems, the basics, you know, nothing crazy, and that's how you do it, and that's how you build your team up. But if somebody were to tell you, hey, you can't do this because, you know, you're running your own persistent world, well, you're not going to listen to that.
Well, of course not.
No, and that seems to be one of the things that may have contributed to a lot of the Neverwinter Nights 2, you know, attrition. Because I know that, you know, looking at a lot of the documentation, a lot of, you know, they bash you for this, that, or, oh, you can't use heart, nothing can have heartbeats. Oh, we got to get away from heartbeats. But then you find out 5 minutes later that delay command is 20 times worse than a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you listen to one person who has absolutely zero knowledge about how the engine works and what's actually better or worse, telling you you're a doofus because you did X, Y, or Z. You know, that's the kind of stuff that, you know, I always had to laugh about. But one of the Neverwinter Nights 2, Neverwinter Nights podcast asides, it always, you know, it's one of those things I always thought about. And again, I got a chuckle out of.
Well, there's always that, you know, wait, this can't be done. Well, I'm going to figure out how to do it then.
Exactly.
And, one of my new role players evidently role played at the Prisoners of the Mist or one of the other Ravenloft servers. And she's like, how did you do this? We wanted to do this for years. I made a 3D model.
Yep.
It's a wall of mist. Well, nobody's made one. And I actually needed it for an area that was actually really high elevation. I needed clouds below where the players were. And it just happened to work out that if I set it a little lower than ground level, all you see is the mist.
That's one thing I envy you for. It's one thing that we don't have right now is a 3D modeler on staff.
I am my entire staff, so I've kind of taught myself everything there is.
Yeah. Yeah, let's put things into perspective. Yeah, you are you.
Yeah. I started in making my persistent world several years after everybody else had been building theirs, and I kind of played on several servers that were really cool, and then other servers that were really cool, and then vanished because the team that was working on them couldn't get along anymore. And when I finally built mine, I'm like, I'm just going to start small and do my own thing, and if I flake, then it goes down, but I'm the only one that's severely disappointed in it.
Right.
I can work on things on my own time. I don't have to wait for other people to get stuff in. They don't have to wait for me to get stuff in.
Nope. That's one of the things that, you know, I can definitely say that, you know.
So my development definitely goes slower than you guys. You guys go by leaps and bounds because you got a whole team with your different specialties and stuff.
Yep, yep.
Minus, like, I have an idea, and, well, like, one thing, I made some models for, like, some underwater iron stuff, like a ladder and a grate. It was on my to-do list for a couple of years, and it was still on my to-do list, and the other day, I'm like, you know, I should make that, and I was cleaning up my work folder, and I made them 2 years ago. I just forgot to add them to the game.
Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah, I've done stuff like that, too. You know, somebody will bring up something to me, and I'll be like, I could have swore I did that. No, you didn't. And I look, sure as crap, I left. I never put it in.
Yeah, made it, but didn't put it in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, for, you know, up until probably about a year ago, I mean, it was just like me and maybe like one other person, you know, developing, and that was it. Ben. That was about it. You know, it wasn't until recent, the last year or so, where we really put a strong team together. A, talent, B, we all get along, and we're blessed to, you know, work with each other.
Because, you know what happened, Brian? I looked at this and I said, you know, I know that Kama did some work on it and Zeus did some work on it, and there's been people over the years that have contributed, but most of the stuff that was going on was just Brian doing it all. And I said, there's all these people in the community that can do stuff. I can do stuff. I mean, I don't know what all I could do. When I started out, it was just DMing and stuff, but I learned as I went along, and I found other people to, I mean, we've got a team of, what is it, 6, 7 now?
Yep. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean,
well, what was crazy was it Brian doing this all by himself. That's what I thought.
Well, it is crazy. Yeah, yeah. It took a toll on me, you know, especially once I finished Cormier and Expanse, the third campaign, you know, when we first rolled it out. I mean, that was harsh. That was a good 10 hours a day, every day, development. I mean, for months. Wow. It was rough. I mean, it was a huge amount of areas, you know, and it was, you see the quality of them. I mean, I did Cormier, for God's sakes. Not too many people in Neverwhere Nights 2 have ever done Suzelle in the detail that I did it in. And
no, imagine not. You guys got a lot of work that goes into those map areas I know of.
Oh, yeah. And almost all of Suzelle is exterior maps, you know, hand-terrained and, you know, hand-built buildings using the BCK kit and all that stuff. I mean, that was painstakingly built. Yeah, we have, what, 5 districts? We did 5 districts. We have the West slums. We have the shipping district, the South docks, and all that. The merchant. We have the merchant district, East district, and then we have the one, the shipyard, the Royal Shipyard.
Mm-hmm.
That's massive. So that just them alone, just the main map. Oh my God, I was getting sick of looking at it after. You know, you do a couple, you know, the first couple were cool and fun. And then, you know, when I start getting over into the Royal District, West Commons, and it was like, oh, my God, my face is going to fall off here if I look at this one more day. Yeah, that's how it happened.
Well, I mean, I've been playing here for close to, I think it's over a year now. And I still notice things that I hadn't seen before. Like I was in 2-9, which is this big spiral full of dragon men that goes down to the boss fight. And I look up and I see this big statue of a dragon up there and all this stuff up on the ridge that I never noticed before.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's just details. It's all the tons of detail. And I think, you know, for anybody who does area development, you know, and I know you do, Amethyst. I know you do. But, you know, put a lot of the detail in because, you know what? You don't want do it up front so that players are getting immersed into the environment, you know, so. And that's
I still go back and add things like I recently went through like one of the big cities and went to the merchants and laid down triggers so that they'd, you know, bark out, you know, text to say, you know, come look at my stuff, you know, get people's attention like they do in an actual market. I had written code for that probably a year and a half ago and just forgot to lay it in. The code was there the whole time. The script was compiled. It was in the module. I just hadn't put the triggers around them to get them to talk.
Yep. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, been there, done that a few times.
Well, those role players that came in recently, you know, made me think of that because they're talking about all the details that they kept finding. I'm like, wait, I got more to add, don't I?
Well, that's like when we did the Cormier and Expanse stuff. I mean, I know that you've probably heard this before, but if you got like a big city, you got all these doors, don't do, you know.
Right?
So yeah. What I did was I made 17 interior houses, right? And I did a lot of placeable spawners. We have a full spawning system we wrote, you know, for placeables, creatures, just about everything.
That's I'm working on that right now.
See that?
Yeah, great minds. I've been working on it for like a year, but it keeps taking a back burner to everything else because I swear I have like, you know, Neverwinter Nights ADD or something.
Yeah.
The longest project I ever had was Reforged when I remade all the weapon models.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that was awesome.
And before that, the longest thing that took forever and really frustrated me was re-scripting all the spells. But other than that, I'd be like, I'm working on one thing, and then all of a sudden, I get an idea for something else, and I gotta do it before I forget about it, because, you know, I might write it down and then forget where I wrote it down.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, you know, these houses, like, you hear the people talking about, you know, all these places don't go anywhere. What I did is I made 17 interiors. And
so
I made
go somewhere.
Well, yeah. So every door almost in Suzelle goes somewhere. And it's all random. So I have like 30 or 40 different encounters. You can get, you know, different families and people and stuff like that. So you go in a house, it just dynamically builds it, you know. So, you go in, you get a custom experience for, you know, going in that house. Yeah. But at least now that there's value. But that's the kind of stuff like you're talking about, you know, where you can go in and do a lot of these types of things that, you know, people don't necessarily see that detail, but
yeah,
that's how you do it. So,
and then you get details that people don't want to see, but you put them in anyway.
Well, hey, once again, you know,
I redid the sewers tile set a couple years ago.
God. Where's this going?
I made placeables that you might, of things you might find there.
Uh-huh.
So we had various piles of things and things floating in the water. And then I took, Sixth Thrice did a really cool, like, zombie remake. So I took one of those and turned it into a placeable, like, floating in the water. Somebody discarded a body in the sewers.
It's funny you say that. I actually did the same thing with ours. We have sewers in Trinity. I did the same thing. There's a dead body floating where, like, where the bandits are going through, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody stumbled upon their little cartel.
Convenient disposal.
Yep, convenient disposal.
Yeah, one of those gelatinous cubes will come by eventually.
Yeah, well, we're running out of time here for this episode.
Yes.
That's what happens when we get all together and start BSing. There's tons to talk about, but we'll have to save it to another episode, which I'm sure we'll have sooner or later. And, you know, but I want to thank you for coming on. You know, thanks for Mark and Ben for co-hosting tonight. And, you know, definitely stay in touch. And, you know, we'll be talking more in the days to come about things that we can keep doing to promote product, Neverwinter Nights and Neverwinter Nights 2.
Definitely.
At large. And
awesome
that,
games, play them, they're cheap.
Yes, very. Hey, GOG.com, there's a lot of places you can get them dirt cheap, direct download even. So
there's cheap, there's no monthly fee to play. You can play as long as you want. You don't have to pay for the cool stuff,
and there's professional quality stuff out there. I mean, it's not just a bunch of ragtag people putting content on. I mean, there's a lot of great single player modules, there's great persistent worlds. I mean, they're just you can't beat the value. And as your website.
Neverwinternights.info.
Yep, neverwinternights.info.
I'll send you, like, the links for, like, the CEP wiki so that, you know, other people can help out with that if they want.
Yeah, please do. I'll put those on our showcase, content
Project
showcase.
Project Q's got a new website. I'll look up the address for that and send you that, too.
Yeah, anything that you can send us, we'll update our site to make sure that it's fully linked out as well. So, well, Mark, you got any final thoughts?
Not at the moment, no.
Well, I'm going to give you the closing line, Amethyst.
Alrighty then, get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity. We are solely responsible for its contents.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.